What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Rockcast. We're here with Travis Hobbs once again, and we're going to go through some new House bills that have been coming up. The one in Utah specifically raised a lot of, ruffled a lot of feathers. Is that what you'd say?
I think so. It's kind of crazy. It's pretty wild. Like, I don't know. It's funny because the same thing's been proposed, like, well, even worse in Arizona, and I don't really hear a whole lot about it. And I have a bunch of friends down there, and it's like, they're all, yeah, so it's kind of funny, but the Utahns, they are pissed. So, yeah.
It's been interesting. Yeah, we're going to go through it. I have to tell a quick story about Robbie. This is pretty funny. So, a little bit ago, I had somebody message me. Well, there's actually two, three people that were like, hey, Robbie drew a muzzleloader tag in Utah, like in that
at the expo, right?
At the expo, he drew an expo tag. So, dude, didn't think anything of it. I was like, hell yeah! So I texted him. I was like, dude, congrats on the tag. And he like went along with it. He's like, dude, we got to do a podcast next week. Like, we gotta talk about my good fortune or whatever the hell he said. And I was like, yeah, I already looked up the dates and I got them marked up on my calendar. Freaking went through all this shit. I never even looked at his Instagram picture. And I was talking to him the other day. I sent him an email or something. And I was like, oh, by the way, let's get this podcast scheduled. So then he called me with like something else. And he's like, hey, what was this podcast we're going to do too? And I was like, on your expo tag. He's like, that was a joke. I was like, dude, I freaking was in a frenzy a little bit because there were some dates that were going to conflict. So I was like trying to move shit around, like do all kinds of stuff. I mentioned it on a podcast.
Yeah, and that's where I heard it. And what's so funny, I went through the expo draw results and I'm like, I usually go through it and like if I recognize anybody, you know what I mean? I think about it or I would have I would have for sure called Robbie. And I never saw it and I never saw his name. And I heard the podcast. I'm like, what the hell? He didn't call me or didn't say a word. And like I'm listening. So I actually was listening to your podcast, got back on the expo draw results. I'm going down through there and I'm like, where the hell's Robbie's name? Which tag did he draw? And I, the funny thing is I get through it and I go to his Instagram and I'm like, he would have put a picture or something. And I see that I about died laughing. Like I was like, oh my gosh. And then you would in the time there, you told me like, yeah, I got a funny story for you. So I figured that's what it was. So that's awesome.
Dude, I just didn't even look. People were like, yeah, Robbie drew the tag. And I'm like, hell yeah. So yeah, I talked. And then after I got off the phone with him, he texts me and he just goes, I can't stop laughing.
That's so awesome.
Dude, so funny. Oh, so funny. And then just because we seem to tell funny stories when we're on the podcast, I think I'm going to tell this just because I think it should make people double check things. My trailer coming off of my vehicle.
Oh yeah, you gotta tell that. We gotta have Robbie on do it another time. Tell his version.
Yeah, to tell his versions. Oh dude, so funny. Yeah, so basically what happened is I bought a trailer, just like a enclosed trailer. I got a 7x14 foot with extra height so I could fit my side by side in it. Gonna do some mods to the inside, so it'll be kind of like a little camper, pretty much like you've got set up, man.
Yeah.
And so I got it, went and picked it up, dude, brand new trailer. I went in and was talking to him and I was like, hey, I didn't have, I like forgot my receiver hitch or something. And I didn't think I had a 2 5/16 ball anyways. I figured that's what it'd be. I went in and they're like, no, it's just a straight up 2-inch. I'm like, okay. So I went and got one, came back, backed up to the trailer and then didn't hook it up. I just went inside and was paying whatever. They came over and hooked it up. I leave, whatever. Dude, I get probably 40 miles down the road and I go across a bridge with like a pretty good lip on the other side of it. And it, that thing freaking pops off. And it's
holy
like,
shit, Jordan.
It's going, it's doing like the side to side, like whipping thing.
Holy the shit. Safety chains held.
Yeah. Safety chains held. And like, luckily the guy who hooked it out there crossed underneath. So it like didn't let the tongue just like bang on the ground.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh my gosh. And so I got stopped or whatever. And the only thing that happened to it was the, in the, in the shit show, I guess, the tongue of the trailer went underneath my pickup, fully underneath of it, and my receiver hitch went through like the rock guard and through the front part of the trailer. Just like, it didn't go completely through to the inside, but it definitely punched a hole in the rock guard. So
that sucks, like, so bad.
What the hell? Dude, well, then I'm stopped on the side of the road. First of all, like, I thought that the back, like the tailgate of my pickup was gonna be trashed.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm like, oh my god. And nothing, like nothing was wrong with it. So I'm trying to lift it up. Well, like, that's just kind of a heavy trailer anyways, but I freaking,
yeah,
I could get it picked up on my own, but it kept rolling backwards. So I'm just sitting there. I'm like, what the hell do you do? Like, there's deep ditches on both sides. I'm like, just sitting there on the highway. So I called a couple people and they were a ways out. And finally, just one of our neighbors came down the highway and was like, you need some help? I'm like, yeah, dude.
Oh, that sucks. So
we freaking popped it on. But yeah, that's what the deal was. It was a 2 5/16 hitch and they told me a 2-inch ball. So
I just, dude, it's something them. To be freaking, it's something, yeah, to watch. Man, I actually, well, this year when we went hunting to Colorado, I actually, like, so I pull trailers all the time for work, and I usually always have my, so I have a B&W, like the, it's got a 2-inch on one side and 2 5/16, mm-hmm, super easy to switch. Well, I never have a 2-inch up, like, ever. All my trailers are 2 5/16. Well, in my rush, like, I was hooking up, man, I drug my trailer all the way to Colorado with my 2-inch ball up, and how my trailer didn't come off, I have no idea. Like, and I found it when we were in Colorado hooking back up, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. And like, really, with all that weight I had in my trailer, I think that's the only thing that saves, yeah, me. And it really is a good point. Like, people, man, it's so easy to do that.
Double, triple check, use your safety, yeah, chains.
For sure.
Do things like that. Yeah, we'll have to have Robbie on because he has a similar story involving a camper. Yeah. Pretty, yeah, sure passed him on the highway.
Yeah, it's epic.
Dude, so great. Oh, yep. Gosh. All right, well, I guess we can move on to these bills. So the one that we're talking about is... Oh, what is that? Utah. What number is that? I didn't have. Oh, 295.
House Bill 295. Yeah.
Yep. House Bill 295. Can you just give like a quick run through on that? Yep. What it started as and what it ended as?
Yep. I'll do it. So, well, basically, to give a little background, in 2018, Nevada passed a bill restricting trail cameras from August 1st to December 31st. And I think it was transmitting cameras from July 1st to December 31st. That went through, and I feel like that was the first real trail cam restriction I heard about, mm-hmm, at least out west. I mean, I think there was some other states talking about cellular transmitting cameras and maybe some restrictions. I think Wyoming's got one now, yep, but anyways, and then back in early December, Arizona Game and Fish, the commission, they voted unanimously, five of the commissioners voted, and that was a unanimous decision to open rulemaking and begin a public process for future regulation of trail cameras. And basically what they did was they're basically saying they're going to just remove them completely. Public comment, I think that was open from the first part of January till it just ended. Well, it maybe was at the first of February. I haven't heard where that has landed. I think they're still analyzing comments, that kind of thing. But it was interesting to me how much support that had, even online, like some of the big outfitters. A lot of people pretty in support of that restriction. And so what was kind of interesting is Casey Snyder, he's a representative from Cache Valley, like so extreme northern Utah. He puts together Utah House Bill 295, and basically in his bill, he copied Nevada's restriction. So was just going to do, basically trail cameras would be open to use until, well, it was August 1st is what it said, and then they would be restricted. So no restrictions until August 1st, and then you weren't allowed to use them until December 31st. Mm-hmm. And then he also did the transmitting cameras, same thing as Nevada, July 1st to December 31st. Well, and then in his bill, there was some waterfowl stuff in there, kind of talking about guiding. And then he also put a restriction on baiting. Well, that kind of, as that went through the process, Well, and I'll give a little background on Snyder. So Casey Snyder, a bunch of people were talking about that he's like this anti-hunter or trying to take hunters' rights. Well, Casey Snyder was last year, and maybe I don't know if you'd ever touched on this, Jordan, but Utah actually had a constitutional amendment for the right to hunt and fish. Mm-hmm. Casey Snyder was the one that put that through. Like, he's a big time hunter, fisherman. Anyways, so he puts this through. And man, the contention online, it was wild. Like, people were super upset about the trail cam restrictions. Way more opposition than I ever thought there would be. I didn't think it would be that big of a deal. Personally, but a lot of people were just super opposed. And if you have Instagram or social media, I'm sure you probably, anybody that's listening, I'm sure they probably heard about that. So a couple of interesting points on how it is now. So he introduced that original bill to the House, and then it went through committee and it was voted on the House floor. And then actually, no, it went through committee and then some amendments were put in, and basically it kicked out all the trail camera stuff. So where the bill sits now is there's no trail camera restrictions. It's basically going to have, it instructs the Wildlife Board and the regional advisory councils to establish rules regarding trail cameras. So basically he's pulled all that. And now the only thing in the bill is a baiting restriction. And maybe I'll touch on baiting. So mm-hmm. I think that's kind of a foreign concept. If you're out west, in a state, even if you lived in Utah, a lot of people didn't know that baiting was perfectly legal in Utah. Like, you could dump, I mean, there's commercial whitetail feeders people are using on public lands in Utah. So it's kind of an interesting thing. And that's foreign to a lot of people, because I think a lot of people assume baiting was illegal, but that's been legal for a number of years in Utah. And this bill will actually cut that right out. So, and I think it went through the House with overwhelming support. I think it was pretty crazy. And now it's on to the Senate committee, and that's kind of where we're sitting with that. So, and then it'll go through the Senate, and they might make more amendments, who knows, but that's mm-hmm. kind of where we're at.
Gotcha. Because baiting, you talked about it a little bit, baiting in Utah, it's not just, you know, throwing a bag of corn out. There's some pretty large baiting operations going on.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's crazy. Guys basically doing it full time for outfitters. Guys hauling truckloads of apples, you know, every week. And I mean, you get down in the desert environments, it's super effective. There's a lot of people that just kind of how they've been, mm-hmm. how they've been hunting, and that's what they've been doing. So it's kind of an interesting, it's really, oh, and then the other thing I was going to mention is salt. So in his original bill, it was going to had an exemption for minerals and salt, similar to Arizona, how they are now. Like, you can use salt and minerals in Arizona, but it actually is cutting it across the board. So you can't, hunters cannot place anything to attract game any time of year. And there was like a season on baiting. Mm-hmm. It was kind of confusing. He cleaned all that up. And so it's basically across the board, no baiting.
Yeah, dude, that's the easiest way to do it. I think, like, you know, Nebraska has, it's no baiting in season, but there's just a lot of gray area that comes with that. And people definitely push it. You know, it's like, No, you can't shoot a deer within 200 yards of a bait site, but then it says that you can't place anything before September 1st before the season starts.
Gotcha.
After the season starts, you can't place anything after the season starts. So there's
a lot of gray area.
Yeah, there's a lot of gray area, conflicting things, just kind of goofy. And yeah, I think it's definitely just easier to, like, somebody reading the law to just say, all right, no, you can't do it.
Yep, for sure. I think it'll make it things way better. And I don't know, it's interesting, all this stuff coming up. I don't know. I think it's healthy discussion for hunters to have, like, mm-hmm. all this technology stuff. And man, things have changed so much. I mean, really, since I don't know. There's just so many crazy things, like weapon systems have changed, range finders. I don't know. And even some of this military technology that's getting out to the public, like thermal infrared technologies, like all that stuff is going to have to be addressed sooner or later by, you know, game agencies, or hunters are going to have to regulate themselves somehow, because I just think, I don't know. It's interesting. It really creates a lot of, people are pretty emotional about stuff. And when people get to use things for, you know, trail cameras, if you really think about it, I mean, it was early 2000s. I think I was using I think there were some SD card trail cameras around, but I was using 35 millimeter film. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's changed. That's not even been that long ago. And so, you know, 20 years goes by and now tons of people have trail cameras, and it's just, they've gotten used to them and they don't want to see them taken away. But it's interesting how different it is from, and I'm sure there's people opposed to it in Arizona, but I would say that you definitely didn't hear the uproar, I guess. And I don't know, maybe they're more effective in Arizona. And I think it's become a little more of a problem in some of those desert environments.
Yeah,
you know, I've talked to some outfitters, 20 plus cameras on a water site. And then you come in to start talking about, well, you know, if there's 20 plus cameras on a water site, how often are guys going and checking them? Mm-hmm. Are they affecting the game water in there? So there's a whole bunch that goes into it. So it's just interesting how I felt like, and maybe I'm wrong, but I felt like there was quite a bit of support for it in Arizona. And there was a lot of people really upset about it in Utah. And then Nevada, you know, I don't know. I've talked to some outfitter. It's kind of an interesting, I don't know. I've heard good things. I've heard bad things, but I don't know. It seems kind of reasonable to me.
Mm-hmm. Did Arizona end up doing an all out ban?
So that's still, I think what they're doing, I think public comment, and I could be wrong, but I think it ended like around the first part of February. And so I think they're basically analyzing comments and taking them, and then they're going to meet again. And that meeting should be coming up fairly quickly, but it sounded to me like it was, the support was pretty overwhelming for it. And I've just talked to a few people down there with their, you know, they got a little better feel for it down there. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like the support's pretty overwhelming. Even some of the outfitters, big outfitters, very much in support of it. So,
yeah.
So it's kind of interesting.
It says something for sure.
If yeah.
you got a bunch of outfitters wanting it, that definitely yep. says something
for sure,
dude. Interesting. Have you looked at that bill 143 in Montana?
Yes. Yeah, so basically I haven't got into it a bunch, but as I understand it, it's kind of talking about you're going to basically be given more of the public or the non-resident tags to outfitters to allocate. Is that kind of how you understood it too, Jordan?
Yep. Yep. Pretty much. It would be, I mean, the way I think about it, it would be kind of like the guide draw in Nevada. And then it would kind of be like a non-resident special in Wyoming. The only thing I don't get, I guess, is on the guide draw in Nevada, do they charge you extra to put in for that?
No, nope. There's no extra. I think you just basically have to have an agreement in place with an outfitter, but I don't think he charges you anything. I think basically it just says that you will hunt with an outfitter. You have an agreement in place that, hey, if I draw this, and that is for rifle only too, which is kind of interesting in Nevada, that they have that, but it's just for rifle only. But in the odds, I think if you look across the board, I think the odds are a little better for that, but I don't think it costs you any extra money. I'm quite sure of that.
Okay, gotcha. So I haven't read the entire bill. I've just read a lot of articles on this 143. And I know it started it. They were going to put 60% of the tags for
yep.
non-residents into this outfit.
And that seemed really significant, like big number to me. But I it'll be interesting to think. I wonder where that's at in the legislature. And maybe we ought to do a follow-up when all these, because that's the thing. And I think it's very important for hunters to understand that when bills get introduced, there is so much change. And it's so important for people to stay up to date, because I think a lot of people, for instance, on the Utah thing, when that got introduced, a lot of people, I think, thought, oh, that's set in stone. There's going to be no changes. And it really ruffled feathers. But the best thing you could do would be talk to your, you know, your representatives, senators.
Yeah.
And because they do, they go through these processes, and I don't know, maybe I should just touch on it, but basically, if a House bill, if a bill started, goes through a committee process, then it hits the House floor and it's voted on, and all along the way they can make amendments, and then they send that over to the Senate, they can make amendments, and then it's still got to be signed by the governor to go mm-hmm. into law. So it's quite a process, and I think there's a lot of confusion because people hear about these proposals and they really get in an uproar mm-hmm. but I think the important thing to know is, like, it's not set in stone, and a lot can change by the time that bill becomes a law. So
yeah. And that's kind of why I wanted to get this podcast out when we are going to get it out, which would be pretty quick. So people can talk to representatives about it if they want to and didn't know about it before. But that, so the 143 on Montana, that did go down from 60%. They took that down to 39% now.
So seeing there again, I mean, already that's a big improvement. I think, yeah, I mean, personally looking at it, man, they ought to, I wish they'd cut that a little more, but maybe that's where people could get involved and maybe make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the reason that they're trying to do this is basically to help. It's the state's way of trying to help the outfitters get clients, basically.
Yep.
Gives non-residents incentive to go with an outfitter in the state of Montana if they can get better draw odds. The part that I'm a little bit goofy on is it says 39% of the out-of-state elk and deer tags are going to go into the limited outfitter pool and raise their price. That's the one I'm kind of like, seriously?
Interesting. Yeah, Gollin, Montana's already way up there.
Yeah, so you got to pay more to, I don't know if that means like they're going to raise their prices overall or if that means they're going to, you have to pay more to put in to an outfitter pool, which seems kind of dumb.
Yeah, that does seem weird.
But yeah, man, I don't know. We'll just see where they go, and hopefully we can keep people kind of updated on what happens. But yeah,
I think, and everybody ought to be involved. Like, there are little things affecting hunters, anglers, like every single state. There's tons of bills, and it's really good for hunters to be involved and look at this stuff. And I don't know, it's just so important to be involved. And you really can. I mean, on a state level, that's how this is supposed to meant to work, is that you can talk to your representatives and try to put your input, and they can, you know, just try to make a good thing. So I think if everybody would just get involved and stay up to date on some of this stuff, really make for it, just, it's better across the board. If everybody can throw their 2 cents in, just makes for better laws, better bills, everything. So,
right. Yep. Dude, I totally agree. Well, man, I don't know if you had anything else. Are there any other bills that are going on right now you can think of?
I think there are a few other little ones, but those are like a couple of the major ones. Mm-hmm. And I guess I could mention there's some stuff going on. Idaho, the commission's like one of the big things, there's some tag changes and stuff, and you ought to be involved and look at some of the rules that are being suggested. You, there's still, I think, a little time to, man, depending on when you get this out, it's going to be really nip and tucked there. It'll be close, but like, they're actually talking about doing away with mountain lion quotas statewide. So that's kind of a big thing as far as predators. It's kind of a new change. There's some tag cuts, like, so down in the southeast region, they're looking at eliminating a bunch of doe hunts for mule deer. So yeah, there's a few things to be involved there, but I think no matter what state you live in, probably be a good idea to check on some of that stuff, because I'm sure there's changes all across. It's just legislative sessions are going across. So yeah, it's a good time to be involved.
Yeah. And just check in your state for sure. And just see what's going on.
Yep.
Cause it could be one of those things you're just not hearing about it. It could be kind of low key for whatever reason. Are there certain places that you go to check on that stuff?
You know, my favorite thing is honestly, like, the Game and Fish websites are usually pretty good about updating some of that stuff, but some of these things, whether it's just the news, Go Hunt does an excellent job. I feel like they're probably the best on news. Yeah. I really appreciate those guys, like, always going out. And I feel like they really usually post about these things on a regular basis and kind of keep hunters up to date on that. And so that's a really good source. I think there's, you know, I see it on Rock Slide too. I see people mentioning things, you know, so I think just across the board, but it is kind of tough. Each state can be a little different and maybe we don't hear about certain things. So it's good to be involved, maybe local news, that kind of thing. Local sportsmen's groups would probably be really good. That's how I hear a lot of stuff about a lot of things coming down the pipe. So that all that's good to be involved in.
Sweet, man. Well, we will, we'll just have to see how these unravel and we'll do an update here in, I don't know, a month or so, maybe.
Yeah, I bet probably a month, we're going to know a lot more about a lot of these things. So yeah, we could probably just hit back and go through them and kind of the changes, because it's probably going to affect people in some way or another. It'll probably affect, you know, a bunch of us. So